Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There's nothing more inspiring than being here in Camden, in South Jersey, with our partner, our friend, President Barack Obama. I am back because we are 2 days away from making sure that New Jersey has the kind of quality leadership it deserves.
And I'm for a smaller government and less spending and lower taxes. So your vote's going to count on Tuesday. It's going to count a lot. We need to make sure we get that message out to people. Their vote counts on Tuesday more than it's ever counted before.
John Corzine, Barack Obama, Chris Christie, and don't forget Chris Daggett.
I'm out here doing retail politics, shaking hands, talking to people, and I am convinced that this election is far from over. It is. You talk to people here, and you see whether or not people have made up their minds yet. They haven't. Many, many people in New Jersey won't make up their minds until either tonight, tomorrow, or Tuesday, after the Jets in Miami play, after the Giants play the Eagles, and after the Yanks and Phils have their game tonight and tomorrow night. That's when they'll start thinking about it.
Chris Daggett campaigning before the Jets game yesterday. I heard he campaigned with Yankee fans the other day. Does that mean he's giving up South Jersey? But it is Election Day minus one. New Jersey gets the president's attention. Bridget Harrison, professor of political science and law at Montclair State, and Mike Kelly, columnist at The Record, are here. Welcome back to WNYC, both of you. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
And Bridget, President Obama campaigned for Governor Corzine for the second time in a week yesterday, stopping in Camden and in Newark. Why did he pick those locations?
Well, clearly, this is an effort not just to mobilize African-American voters in New Jersey cities, but those two areas are pivotal in terms of party organization. And what the Obama campaign and or what the Obama administration and what the Corzine campaign is hoping is that those enviable GOTV organizations are going to really be energized by President Obama's presence and knock on every door, make every phone call to get every Democratic voter out.
And just to be clear, GOTV is not an obscure cable channel. It stands for Get Out the Vote. Anything to add to why Camden and Newark, Mike, and what the Obama effect there is supposed to be?
Well, I agree with what Bridget is saying. Actually, I had a conversation with Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, just the other day. And he was relaying to me some numbers that are in play here. And I'll just give you an example. Booker was with Corzine in Hoboken. And he said that in last year in the election with President Obama, President Obama got 17,000 votes just in Hoboken alone. When Corzine ran for governor in 2005, he only got 7,000. And Corzine's people are trying to just bring that total up a little bit. They don't expect to get the 17,000 that Barack Obama got. But if they can get 10,000 or even more, they would consider that a major, major influx of new voters. And that's what they're really trying to pull out there. And yes, this is a lot about race, because the core areas that they're appealing to, Newark and Camden, and to some degree Hoboken, although Hoboken is largely white, but they're trying to go for traditional elements to the Democratic coalition, and one of those key elements is the African-American voters, and they're really struggling to get those voters out.
How else are the campaigns trying to maximize turnout today and tomorrow, Mike?
Well, this is key for the Democrats, as you know. Right now, the issue, as I see it, is not so much message. The candidates have spent months trying to get their message out. Right now, what they need to do is get voters to the polls. And the voters that they're most concerned about, in terms of the Democrats, the Republicans not so much, but in terms of the Democrats, are those new voters, those literally thousands of new voters that signed up last year. They were energized by the Democratic presidential campaign.
Hundreds of thousands in New Jersey.
Yeah, sure. And these are new voters who voted for the very first time and decided to go to the polls for Barack Obama. Now, the real question mark in this election, as I see it, is can Corzine get those, quote, new voters back to the polls for him? And I think if he can do it, he'll probably win. If he doesn't win, I think the analyst should really take a look at who are those new voters, and did that allegiance to the Democratic Party transfer from 1 year to the next?
So, Bridget, here's a theory about this, at least potentially. If Obama has short coattails among those who register to vote for change last year. Maybe it means he's not bringing enough change, that he's making too many compromises with Wall Street bankers and the pharmaceutical industry and a corrupt Hamid Karzai and not opening Bush interrogation secrets enough and other things like that, that these voters may have wanted to see change more. How possible do you think that is?
You know, Brian, I actually disagree with that. I think that when we look at the national analysis of this race, what we hear the media pundits saying, what we hear from newspaper reporters that are calling, is that this is a mandate on the Obama presidency. That's how the national scene is viewing it. If you go out there and you talk to any New Jersey voter, I doubt seriously that they're considering the Obama administration's relationship with Hamid Karzai as how they're determining their base for John Corzine.
But my question is a little more specific than that, because I would agree with you. It wouldn't make sense in terms of established independent swing voters in New Jersey who are probably concerned most of all about property taxes and the state of the schools. But with respect to all of these newly registered Vote for Change Obama registrants from last year, perhaps in their case the criteria are different as to whether it matters to them when the president comes to try to get out the vote for John Corzine. Do you think that
we need to
look differently at those groups?
One of the things we're seeing here is that the translation of Obama's message for change does not resonate quite as well with an incumbent governor in the state of New Jersey, particularly one with John Corzine's demographic characteristics. It's a little bit of a tough sell. But instead, what we're seeing is President Obama's energy, and I think that Mike's absolutely right about this. What we need to be looking at is, are these once-in-a-lifetime voters? Are these loyal party Democratic faithful voters for the rest of their lives, much like FDR's 1932 voters became Democrats and those who are still alive remain Democrats? Or are these just Barack Obama voters, which is a possibility? They come out once every 4 years. And I think that analysts will be looking at this. I think that the political parties will be looking at this as well, because it has some forebearing on the 2010 midterm elections.
Mike Kelly, anything more to add on this before we go on to another question?
Well, yeah. I think one of the problems for Corzine has been that whereas Obama, by his very personality and his skin color, was able to really energize voters to the point where they said, you know, real change is going to happen if we go to the polls. John Corzine, in part because of his personality, in part because of his record, but also because I think where people are at today, this campaign is not connecting with the voters. I'm predicting we'll have a relatively low turnout, or disappointingly low turnout, tomorrow. And I think the reason for that is that this campaign has never really engaged voters. I listen to what people are saying quite a bit, and they're not talking about the situation in Afghanistan or whether this is going to be a referendum on Obama's policies. I agree completely with what Bridget has to say about that. But at the same time, I think voters are expressing, at least what I'm hearing, a sense of frustration that none of the candidates are really speaking to what they really need, and none of them really offering believable solutions. And that's why I think Christopher Daggett's candidacy had gotten some attention, but that seems to even be falling off.
Listeners in New Jersey, if you're not voting tomorrow, or if you're considering not voting, how about that? If you're on the fence between voting for somebody and voting for nobody for governor tomorrow, call up 212-433-9692, because turnout matters. This is not a nihilistic question, you know. A lot of people are probably considering voting for somebody who they sort of support a little bit, or sort of at least want to stop somebody who they don't really support, or staying home because you don't really care that much, or you don't think it's going to matter that much. So if you're kind of on that fence, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Bridget Harrison, professor of political science and law at Montclair State, and Mike Kelly, columnist at The Record, 212-433-9692. Now, Mike, on what you said about Governor Corzine not energizing the voters.
Right.
Corzine feels underappreciated by the people and the media. He feels that he gets a do-nothing rap when really he's done a lot and some very high-profile things. So I'm going to play a clip of NJN's Michael Aaron on this show, in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series, listing some of the things that Corzine has actually done.
All right, here we go, Brian. He abolished the death penalty. He banned dual office holding. He enacted a paid family leave bill. He redid the school funding formula, presided over a lot of new school construction, and expanded pre-K. He cut the budget, state budget, 2 years in a row, enacted the first state stimulus plan, reduced the state workforce, he says, by 7,000. I have my doubts, but it's hard to pin it down. Introduced the state comptroller to oversee spending, did a little bit of pension reform, raised the retirement age of state workers from 55 to 60, mandated that all children have health insurance, and basically held New Jersey together during a tough time and avoided scandal.
So, Mike Kelly, that's a fair amount of stuff to have actually done, if you think that's a fair list.
And the main accomplishment might be that he avoided scandal. At least the way things are going here in New Jersey. Although I don't know how we factor in the Carla Katz, romance
right.
/ financial economic stimulus package for her own personal life.
For the union, well, for her. But okay, so that exists. But you
ask a very good
but
question.
But there's, is he underappreciated? I mean, everybody can stand here in the middle of the Hudson River, let's say,
right,
and say, oh, Michael Bloomberg, he banned smoking in restaurants, and he put in, a lot of bike lanes and made them post calorie counts in fast food restaurants. John Corzine, but that's a lot of stuff.
The reality is there's only one thing that matters to New Jersey voters, and that is taxes. And when we're looking at this election, when Mike talked earlier about why the campaigns have not had any resonance with voters, it is because each of these candidates have failed to address in any specific way how they are going to right the fiscal ship of the state of New Jersey in a way that is believable and palatable to voters. And mostly that's because it's almost an unaccomplishable task. When we talk about accomplishments like the death penalty, it's a very important issue, but most voters in the state of New Jersey don't care a whole lot about that. And so really what we're talking about, and this is reflected in Governor Corzine's low approval ratings, it's reflected in the kind of marginality of this race that right now the polls are having with essentially a statistical dead heat. It is because all of these campaigns, I would argue, with the exception perhaps of Chris Daggett's, have really failed to talk about what matters most to voters. And so you can accomplish an enormous amount, but if it isn't what voters want you to talk about, then it doesn't really count.
Let's get some voters' voices on in here, uninspired voters for the most part. Linda in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
So you're going to go to the polls tomorrow?
I'm still undecided. If I do go to vote, I think I will vote for the independent candidate. I'm very upset at Corzine.
And what will tip the balance for you tomorrow as to whether you actually go out for Daggett or just stay home? Nice day, gap in your work schedule. What will actually determine it for you tomorrow?
Just my mood.
Linda, thank you. Jim in Sussex County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
It's Brian. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Brian.
So, you're going to vote tomorrow?
I want to vote, but I have to say, I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I cannot get enthusiasm for Corzine and even less enthusiasm for the Democratic Party. They just don't deserve my vote, honestly. I'm so disgusted with the party bosses, the fact that nobody has managed to wrest control from George Norcross or the people in Hudson County. I mean, the school construction fund issue that popped up a couple years ago was just such a disgrace. And I really think the Democratic Party needs to be punished. And until they do something serious about reform, I'm having a hard time getting any excitement to vote for them.
So for you, it's still maybe Corzine, maybe Daggett, maybe nobody?
Well, if Christie got it, honestly, I don't think he'll be that bad. I just, like I said, I'm having a hard time. I'd rather give my vote to Daggett, I think, and make a statement about independence like the previous caller, because I'm just completely disgusted with the Democratic Party as a whole in New Jersey.
There you go. Jim, thank you very much. And look at this. Bridget Harrison and Mike Kelly. Our caller on line 10 is the mayor of Newark, Cory Booker. Mr. Mayor, thank you for calling. Nice to have you as a caller after being on many times as a guest.
Well, I'm a big fan of the show, and I confess that I do listen to it in the background as I often get work done, so thank you.
I'm really glad. So you're listening to this and you're thinking?
I'm getting frustrated, I think, as I've been for a long time, because, as you guys said earlier, John Corzine has not been the kind of sexy candidate that has attracted a lot of attention on big-ticket things. But as I see from the city of Newark, and I'm in the trenches every single day, he's been a partner for this city and all around the state to accomplish things that actually have really made a measurable difference and hurt and stopped us from hurting even more in a very, very bad economy. This is not a time that we're going to get a big victory that's going to attract headlines, but on a day-to-day basis, he's a guy that's in the trenches getting the work done. And it bothers me that so many people don't see the tangible things that he's done.
So why do you think it doesn't land?
Why do I think it doesn't land?
With the voters, the Corzine record.
Well, one is I think that this is a time that a lot of people are legitimately hurting, and there's so much anxiety in the state. You know, the foreclosure rate in our state is going up like it's going up across the country. The unemployment rate in our state is going up dramatically as it has across the country. And property taxes in New Jersey, because of the bad decisions made by each party, and you can go governor to governor, have really added up to just a lot of frustration. And that, in the backdrop of seeing corruption in politics and seeing business as usual, gets very frustrating to people. But if you look at John's records, to me, and what he's been able to accomplish in light of all this, inheriting the worst hand of cards in the worst economy, he's really done some substantive things. But for me, when it comes to sort of struggling Newarkers, and I see that he's been able to help us in the worst economy to double the production of affordable housing, and how you can go around Newark and see over 20 new parks either under construction or being built around the city, how he raised the earned income tax credit on the state level that has allowed me, with our free tax centers all around the city, to put millions of dollars back in the pockets of people making $60,000 or less. All of these things I can go on are things that he's done that have not been celebrated, have not been in the press, but wouldn't have happened without his leadership. And there's going to be no easy answers. And we crave for it. We hunger for somebody that's going to come and be a white knight on a horse, our champion. But it's just not going to happen. New Jerseyans have to understand that this is going to be a step-by-step, brick-by-brick process to get through a very, very difficult economy.
Mayor Booker, a lot of the Christie supporters are going hard after Chris Daggett, and saying that he's really, you know, he's in there to take votes away from the Republican and really to help Corzine. Are you also concerned about people who, like our last two callers, who are disoriented or disenchanted with the Democrats and might vote Daggett for that reason?
You know, look, I actually know Chris Christie and have watched Daggett for a while from afar. They're both good guys, and I'm actually happy that this race is being so hard fought off from three different angles. So I think Daggett is a sincere guy who's coming to the table with real ideas. I think that there's a lot of things he's missing the boat on, but that's my opinion. I don't think this is a stalking horse or somebody to take away votes. I think actually this is a good election for New Jerseyans to be engaged in because they actually have real, tangible choices.
Mayor of Newark, Cory Booker, thanks a lot for calling in. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
And, all right, who wants to react to that?
Well,
Mike Kelly?
I'd be happy to. It's interesting that Mayor Booker called in. I wrote a column about him on Sunday, and I called him the most intriguing politician in New Jersey is not running for governor, and that's Cory Booker. As you notice, Booker has a way of articulating issues and articulating points in a way that Corzine simply is not capable of doing, and it's just Governor Corzine's style against a very dynamic speaker. I mean, I think Booker is a better speaker than Barack Obama is, and Barack Obama is pretty good. But I think it's the ability to articulate issues in a meaningful way that touches people's lives, and that has been Corzine's failure time and time again. I mean, I know people inside his campaign, and they have spent tens of thousands of dollars on speaking lessons for him and that sort of thing. And let's face it, message is important, and the ability to communicate that message is very, very important. Corzine is not capable, I don't believe, of doing that in any meaningful way. And I think that that has hurt him. And if he loses, that could be one of the reasons why he's losing. He does have a record of accomplishment in the state. But as Bridget points out, the most important issue for voters, for ordinary voters in this state, is taxes and pocketbook type issues that relate to taxes. And Corzine, like many of the politicians in recent years in New Jersey, hasn't been able to really solve that in a meaningful and long-term way.
So, Bridget, how organized do you think the Corzine campaign is? Are they organized enough to have asked Mayor Booker to listen to this show this morning and call in?
That was the question that I would have asked Mayor Booker. I think that, and I also would have asked him, what kind of organization are we seeing on the streets of Newark? I mean, anecdotally, and of course, you know, we can look at what people inside the party are doing. Anecdotally, what we know right now is that the cities seem to be enormously organized. In Jersey City, I've seen people walking around with sandwich boards for perhaps the past 2 weeks. We've also seen lots of advertising, particularly in cities connecting Barack Obama and John Corzine. We see that there's this kind of network of grassroots organizations that's helped by the presence of assembly candidates. The most important factor, however, of course, is money, because with money we can pay our campaign workers. You can buy a GOTV, a Get Out the Vote organization. You can pay people walking around money. And excuse me, in this campaign, of course, one of the things that we see is that Mr. Christie, who opted into the public matching funds, is constrained in the amount of money that he can spend. $2.1 million is all he had left to spend in the last 9 days before the election, and that includes campaign advertising. And so the organization that he can purchase for that is much smaller than the organization that John Corzine, who can spend unlimited funds, is capable of buying at this point.
So, Mike Kelly, before you both go, on Chris Daggett, the independent candidate, he is polled as high as 20%. You said he seems to be sinking now, and quite often third-party candidates tank at the last minute if their supporters think they can't win.
Right.
Is anyone pressuring Chris Daggett to get out of the race? If he believes he can't win, why stay in and play spoiler for one candidate or the other?
I don't know what kind of pressure. I mean, I think there's some ongoing pressure on him to get out, but I don't know. It's also hard to read, and Bridget might want to talk about this as well. It's also hard to read exactly what kind of supporters are really drifting to Daggett. I mean, the polls have shown that, you know, almost a division here between the Corzine and Christie supporters. If, you know, he's going to stay in, I think. He's not going to withdraw at the last minute. And I think he will play a role in the outcome of this election. What I think is interesting here, it doesn't look like we're going to get a governor who has more than 50% of the vote. And if that's the case, what kind of a mandate for, quote, change does the new governor have?
Well, what does that set up Chris Daggett for, if anything, in the future administration? I mean, I thought maybe there would be horse trading going on today, Daggett to be something or other in a Corzine or Christie cabinet if he gets out today. But if that's not going on, then does he play a role, if he helped to swing the election just by his presence and the elected governor gets under 50%?
That's a very good question. I think it would be politically disastrous of him to have any kind of serious talks with either campaign about horse trading at this point in time, because even if he was to accept a position in the next administration, whether it's Corzine or Christie, and it was revealed that he was trading on this issue the day before the election,
mm-hmm.
I think his
right.
credibility would be nil.
Right. So what, Bridget Harrison, does Chris Daggett want?
Well, I think that he has partially succeeded in achieving what he wants, and that is to change the nature of the debate during this gubernatorial election. I think that Chris Daggett is in this to win. I don't think that that's possible. But I think that our two callers earlier today really are endemic of what his candidacy is about. Sure, he's dividing the protest vote. If he were to drop out of the campaign right now, it wouldn't matter because his name is still on the ballot, and those who are supporting him would do so anyway, in my belief. But in my mind, the people who are attracted to him are perhaps the least likely people to come out and vote. And so I think that that's why we're seeing this kind of large shift in the polls. What we're seeing is 20% down to 9%. It is a refinement of the measure of likely voters. And so, therefore, he's probably pulling, just like Ralph Nader did, people who would have been reluctant to come out and vote for either major party candidate, but may come out to the polls and vote for him. Nonetheless, he certainly has the potential playing role of spoiler tomorrow.
Bridget Harrison, professor of political science and law at Montclair State University. Mike Kelly, columnist for The Record. Thank you both very much for coming on.
My pleasure, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, if you're making last-minute decisions, we still have the entire archive from our 30 issues in 30 days, gubernatorial and mayoral election series, which ended on Friday. If you want to go back and listen to any one of those issue conversations, you can at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And then don't forget, I will be here tomorrow night for Election Returns with the WNYC News team and our partners at WBGO in Newark. We begin tomorrow night at 8 as the polls close in New Jersey. Hope you can join us. And coming up in just a minute, the H-1B visa, a valid immigrant status with slots going empty, and then why the Pope is going after Episcopalians. Stay with us.